Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brando, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Live. We have like zero idea what we're doing with this. I spent all morning working on just getting our intro to work.
Yeah.
On the live stream. Anyways, this is Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. I forgot to hit record on the actual camera. So we can either what?
That's okay. We're streaming this.
All right.
YouTube records it
okay,
for us.
All right. All right. I'm just making sure that we're good with that. So anyways, how are you guys doing? We've got 550 people watching.
No, we got
right
more
now
than that. We got 637 people watching right now.
Why is this behind?
What
the heck?
I don't know what to tell you.
Anyways,
thank you everybody for joining us for our first attempt at a live show. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah. So we're going to do our usual shout outs. We're on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. There's the secret Discord server that's only available to Patreons, active right now. And yeah, that's, like I said, only available. That's only one of the amazing reward tiers we have, Larson.
Yes.
That's patreon.com/ Steve.
What's a great reward.
Dude, it's different. It's different when we're like live in front of a bunch of people.
We live stream our reaction to pay-per-views, and that's a different thing. This is the first time.
That's literally just us on the couch with our balls out.
We live stream our recap shows,
yeah.
But this format is different than anything else we do,
yeah.
So I don't know how it's going to work. It might be an absolute disaster.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We're
going to give it a try, see how it goes. If it's no good, then we'll make adjustments.
Yeah, exactly. This is our first time. So the great thing is this is our channel. There's like, it's not like we're on somebody. It's not like we're working for somebody. This is our own shit. So if we're going to crash and burn, we can do that and then just come back tomorrow. So anyways, yeah, like I said, we're on the Patreon, patreon.com/ Steven Larson, the $5 patrons. So if you enjoy this live stream, the $5 patrons actually get, three of their own private live streams, where we recap Raw, SmackDown, the podcast that you guys know, on Raw, the Raw, SmackDown, NXT 205 Live. We do those live for the $5 patrons every single week.
Yes.
So if you're interested, you can check that out. And we're also available at the Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw.
Did the new design go up yet?
I sent it in. I don't know. Ooh, they got back to us about that. Nah, that's good. I sent it in. I'm going to see right now if the Shower Me With Gold, here it is, logo design is up yet.
Great idea.
Because I don't know.
While you do that, I will get started.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of news to get
through
today.
Yeah, this weekend was a pretty decent weekend.
And it started
weekend
pretty much right before or right as Dirt Sheet went up on Friday. Of course, I'm talking about the news that Talking Smack as a weekly television program has been canceled.
Yes.
The news was broke by PW Insider when they reported that Talking Smack was canceled. And the WWE soon issued a statement.
It's live! Shower Me With Gold! The t-shirt is up! It's up at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Cool. /
Going In Raw.
WWE soon issued a statement about the status of the show, saying, quote, "We continuously review WWE Network's programming lineup based on a variety of factors, including viewership and subscriber research. Talking Smack and Raw Talk will air following pay-per-view events, and Tuesday will continue to feature 205 Live." So they kind of allude to why the show may have been canceled without saying, you know, in concrete terms, why the show was canceled.
What is that? What are you doing over here?
Hold on. We'll get to that. But Dave Meltzer over the weekend, stated initially that the reason was simply a lack of viewership for the show. However, Sunday, Sports Illustrated, Steve, go ahead and do some reading.
Oh, Sports Illustrated issued a report on Sunday. By the way, Sports Illustrated, they have and their Extra Mustard section has a really great Young Bucks behind the scenes video.
No,
like a
the one
talkie
I sent you?
Yeah.
That's Rolling Stone.
Oh, Rolling Stones. I'm sorry.
It was
okay,
Rolling
Stone. The other thing. Really cool video.
Yeah, it's great.
Check it out somewhere. Anyway, Sports Illustrated issued a report on Sunday which stated, quote, "Contrary to reports, Talking Smack was not canceled due to a lack of viewers. The WWE Network show, popular among fans for its organic nature, was canceled by Vince McMahon.
You're fired!
Oh, what's this show you got going?
You're fired!
Sources close to the situation reported that McMahon was unhappy with the show and strongly believed it did not serve the company's best interests. The report continues, the unscripted nature of the show ultimately played a role in its removal. Despite plans for occasional talking smack shows after SmackDown-specific pay-per-views, the long-term plan, per McMahon, is to eradicate the program.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the time late Sunday came around, Dave Meltzer appeared on The Law, live audio wrestling.
Yeah.
And he seemed to have kind of changed his thoughts maybe about, or at least he wasn't so sure about why the show was canceled. He went from thinking it was strictly a lack of viewership to maybe thinking that was Vince, you know, being out of touch, lending some credence potentially to Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, because,
story.
Yeah, so like somebody tweeted at Dave a link to the Sports yes. Illustrated thing and said, how much is this, how factually correct is this? And it seemed like his response seemed to be more speculative than anything, because he just said, if this was Vince doing it, why would they keep it around for post pay per views?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm sorry. Continue.
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
On the
live audio, what's it called? Live audio wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. So we listened to it earlier today. He kind of sort of flipped from that and said it might not be strictly due to lower viewership numbers. It could be, and you'll have to listen to it for yourself.
Yes.
It could be a Vince thing, and you know, him not thinking that this is, you know, proper, you know, it's too much breaking down of the kayfabe thing.
Well, he also talked about the kind of clash in Vince's mind between the old school way of doing things, whereas, you know, unscripted promos, more off the cuff type stuff,
yeah,
versus how WWE does things now,
right.
Everything's, you know, scripted to the letter.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it almost kind of seems like, based on the Sports Illustrated report, this is the first time Vince actually was there during a filming of Talking Smack,
mm-hmm.
and saw how it went down and was like, okay, I don't want this anymore.
What is this shit?
Which would be weird since it's almost a year into Talking Smack's existence. Anyways, yeah. Regarding Talking Smack's viewership, WrestleZone reported that it placed 18th last week on the network.
Yeah.
While 205 Live apparently didn't even crap that.
No, it did crap, actually.
Yeah,
awesome.
Didn't crack the top 20.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what's funny is that this wouldn't surprise me at all if, like, we don't know for sure, man.
Yeah.
But given how amazingly, entertainingly loosey-goosey.
Oh, it's so much fun to watch.
And it's Daniel Bryan and Renee Young. And I mean, Shane McMahon's good and everything, but Daniel Bryan has such an I don't give an F attitude. And it tickles the shit out of Renee Young.
Yes.
They have a great chemistry because Daniel Bryan half the time is saying things that you probably figure they don't want him to be saying. I'm not half the time, but, you know, he's made, I think, a Trump reference when we heard that they don't want that to happen.
Well, I mean, he's alluded on the show several times that he's just waiting until his contract runs out so he can go wrestle somewhere else.
Exactly. But here's the thing. And he also, I believe this was in a Sports Illustrated interview that he gave when he talked about the WWE needing to, or his desire to see the WWE focus on the personalities.
Yes, and change up the presentation of the show.
That's how he put it. And Talking Smack, I believe, was a really, really good way to show what we want to see from the wrestlers.
Over the weekend, we were texting back and forth about the G1 press conference.
And it's great.
In New Japan, and how it gives wrestlers in New Japan an opportunity to present their personalities.
Yeah.
Their personalities,
yeah.
Not characters,
exactly.
Their personalities.
Yeah. And we see this also with New Japan. On New Japan World, you can see their, it's not the road to's, but it's like on the road with.
Yeah.
And it spotlights their various wrestlers, and it's just sort of a documentary-ish sort of, you know, approach. And you just see, and it sort of echoes the Roderick Strong NXT
yes.
mini documentary
yes.
they did, which Daniel Bryan referenced, because those were very similar. And that Roderick Strong mini doc did go a long way for me personally in saying, okay, wow, I understand this guy now.
Yeah.
Like, I get him now.
Yeah.
And Talking Smack kind of did the same thing.
It did.
And in letting them, and it was what I personally liked about it too was Daniel Bryan almost challenging the wrestlers to think on their feet.
Yeah.
To inhabit their characters, if you will.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an absolute bummer, but it wouldn't surprise me, given that the WWE under Vince has, what, two dozen writers.
Yeah.
Who, you know, are around to script out very careful dialogue for these backstage segments, which in my opinion is one of the weakest aspects of WWE programming.
They
get a lot of stuff right. And you and I are going back and forth on doing a set of countouts because, you know, New Japan making such big strides here in the U.S. And blowing up in a lot of, you know, I know a lot of our audience, a lot of our friendos are sort of latching on to the New Japan thing as well, which is great to see.
Yes.
I just got done watching three of the G1, the opening night for the G1 climax matches, and they are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I managed to watch. We'll get to that later because we're going to talk about that briefly at the end.
But
of the
show. we're not here to crap on the like. The WWE does a lot of stuff right.
Yeah.
They do a lot of things right. It's just finding what other places do right that you could. There are certain conventions to their programming that just need to go. They're passé. They're old.
I know.
You know, it's like the thing I was saying about Aleister Black and the mystique that NXT has done so well in such a short amount of time in building around him. The idea of him going up to the main roster and being featured in a comedic backstage segment, just it doesn't sit right with me.
No,
you know, it's not going to work. Like, I mean, I like Finn Balor back there eating a donut with Dean Ambrose. I'm not sure if that kind of stuff is going to work with Aleister Black.
No,
with
it's not.
Sanity. Like a Sanity with like Drew McIntyre, with a bunch of the people they're bringing in.
I know.
I'm just not sure that stuff is going to work.
I know. Well, let's open the floor to some questions. Do you have questions?
On the other hand, the thing about talking smack is that I could see Aleister Black doing something
because
there.
Because he could dictate, you know, the mood of his interview.
Right. And it's just himself.
Yes.
You know, it's just they allow, like, the Usos go on there. And yeah, go ahead and start asking your questions.
Yeah.
The Usos go on there. And man, you don't see like heels. You don't see faces. You see two guys. They give their point of view.
Yeah.
And then they do their character heel stuff in the ring with their actions, which is kind of how it should be.
Without talking smack, The Miz would not have been able to, for lack of a better term, resurrect his career the way he had.
That was absolutely
90% his work on Talking Smack.
That was absolutely the turning point for him. Do you remember last year when we interviewed him at SummerSlam? We told him who we were and what we do.
Yeah.
So you guys are internet guys. You must think I'm a big douchebag. I'm pretty sure those were his words exactly. And we said, you know, we're kind of coming around to your work, to be honest with you. And between that bit on Talking Smack, that little shoot style promo he gave on Daniel Bryan, and then his work with Cena at WrestleMania, we're completely turned around with the guy.
Let's take some questions. We got a couple super chats here on YouTube. First from Sexton Hardcastle, making it rain on you, Marks. Thank you very much. Jerry the Alf. Hey, would love to do patron, but don't have steady income when you're in college, but summer jobs for the win.
Hey, that's okay. Look, all we really want is you guys to enjoy the program.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So let me get caught up here. Oh, another one. Jerry the Alf is so sad that 205 Live is being wasted. Yeah, that's another conversation.
That's another conversation for another day. Anyways, you hit up the YouTube chat. I'll hit up the Discord and see.
Lord Way, what will you miss the most about Talking Smack? And I think we've alluded to it this whole conversation. Just giving talents an opportunity to showcase their personalities. In a far less scripted format.
It's not like we watch it every week. It's just but at least a couple times a month we'll get a Twitter feedback saying, oh my god, you guys have to watch Talking Smack, look at what happened.
And also the especially the really well done interview bits on Talking Smack made really good clips on YouTube.
Yeah,
like WWE could upload those clips. I think the one where The Miz and Daniel Bryan go at it got millions of views.
Yeah. It does. So here's a over in the Discord server, there's a McFiend410 says, it's hard for me to believe Vince just found out about Talking Smack when he edits SmackDown and he's used clips. I'm not sure he actually edits SmackDown. SmackDown's live.
Yeah, I know.
But that actually kind of raises a good point. Talking Smack has been on for a while.
Almost a year.
Do you think this is the first time Vince is actually like, has been there and watched it and been like, wait a second. Person,
I don't know. I mean,
wait a second.
Also in the Sports Illustrated piece, they mentioned that he has not been traveling as much recently.
Right, right, right. I mean, maybe it's just flown so far under his radar.
It seems unbelievable how hands-on he seems to be with his company that he would be either unaware of what Talking Smack was or just suddenly had this revelation that he didn't want Talking Smack on anymore.
Right, right, right.
I mean, maybe he kind of he was sitting there watching it, didn't like it for whatever reason, looked at the viewership numbers and said, "Okay, well, here's a justification for canceling it." I don't know.
It could be a matter of it just didn't set right with him.
Could be
like for a while, and he looked at the numbers like you're saying, and just used that as justification.
Yeah,
you know, like, or these guys are just. I mean, I can see it from an old school wrestling standpoint. These guys are just clowning around. You know, like they're not taking their character seriously.
Well, I was watching. I was watching Clash of Champions 24.
That's what we're gonna be reviewing this.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Last night. And the segment with the Shockmaster,
yeah,
everything leading up to the Shockmaster falling through the wall is an absolute mess because it's not scripted.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather have, because, yeah, when things aren't scripted, it can be a disaster, but also it can be fantastic. You know, whereas the scripted stuff, by and large, is just, okay, that's good or competent or decent.
What year was Clash 24? 93? Man, there's something about late 80s, early 90s WCW that I think it's quickly becoming my favorite era of
wrestling.
It's
this weird thing where there's a lot of good stuff, and then you have Shockmaster.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys that are in the ring that look like they hardly know how to wrestle with these the most generic characters.
I know, man. I like it. But then there's also like people who like aren't getting on with the WWF. They're coming over to WCW, so it's like random people who will be there for like 2 months.
Oh, I know people that like just go back and forth between the two promotions.
Yeah,
a few months.
So like, isn't Bulldog there for Clash 24?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so weird.
Got any other questions? Oh, Jimmy Baraniski, another person who benefited from Talking Smack, Baron. Corbin.
Yeah, no, I agree with that absolutely.
Oh, also Renee Young's other show, Unfiltered, canceled.
Ugh.
I feel like that's the second time that show has been canceled, though.
Oh, but you know what? It also harkens back to this one. Nobody really seemed to give a shit about except for me. But Legends with JBL, I love that show. He's actually a really, really fantastic interviewer.
Yeah,
like regardless of who he's interviewing, he's actually really good at that.
Yeah.
Like, if he's not bullying people, evidently he's really good at interviewing. X-Ray Guy says in the Discord server, are Vince and WWE Creative really so afraid of talent getting themselves over that he would cancel an entire program? I mean, this does kind of harken back to when Zack Ryder's YouTube show was canceled.
Yeah.
Like, they came out, like, they sort of capitalized on his popularity and then buried the crap out of him. And I don't know, we can speculate here. It's just I have a hard time believing that they don't want people getting themselves over, but maybe they do. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's sometimes their moves are confusing.
I don't think Daniel Bryan. Here's another really quick before we move on. AJ Omega says, do you think Daniel Bryan will become like Kevin Nash in WCW 2000 and want to be anywhere but where he is? I think yes, but the difference is Kevin Nash had that written all over his face.
Yes.
And Daniel Bryan, when he's there, you can tell he still enjoys what he does.
Yeah, I know.
It's just he'd rather be wrestling. But when he's there, I think he probably really likes his coworkers. He probably likes what he does because it's not like it's all that demanding or demeaning or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he still gets an amazing reaction from the crowd. Kevin Nash knew that that dude was on a sinking ship.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want to be there. He didn't care how much money he was getting paid.
No.
And that boredom was all over his face.
Yes. For a span of about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay.
To a story from Wrestling News World. And I discovered this story via Sportskeeda.
Mm-hmm.
And Wrestling News World is reporting that WWE officials are now split about whether Roman Reigns can or and will continue to be the top guy.
Yeah.
Whether it will continue to be his yard. And Wrestling News World cites a drop in merch sales for Roman, increased booze at not
booze.
Just TV events, but also live events.
He's been drinking more.
No, booze.
Oh, like crowd
not
reaction.
Alcohol,
oh.
No.
Boo.
And apparently, according to surveys, fans have canceled their network subscriptions due to Roman Reigns' push. People cite that as a reason for canceling their network subscription. Ollie Davis, the writer of the story, states that WWE may start giving up on the Roman Reigns project. And this quote is from the Sportskeeda story. Ollie Davis, quote, Ollie Davis has himself specified that these rumors have to be taken with a grain of salt, and there is no confirmation as of this writing. I feel like months ago we heard similar things, that Vince had soured on Roman Reigns and that he was going to dial back the push a bit. That didn't really happen.
Yeah. Again, this is kind of one of those things where I don't know if, number one, I'll believe when I see it.
Yes.
I'll put it that way. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't know, man. I don't. What do you think about this? Okay, number one, where do you get info on merch sales?
That I don't know.
Because I see a lot of. It was funny. We sort of paid attention to this last time. Went to a live event.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw a lot of people wearing. There was one dude who came up to us. He was literally just Roman from head to toe.
Yes.
Just had short hair.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it. It wouldn't surprise me at all if there was, if there was no straw that could break the camel's back in Vince's mind.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he would ever say, okay, well, merchandise sales did blow this much.
Yeah.
He's fired or, you know, de-pushed. I think that he probably on a, it's probably like talking on a day-to-day basis. You know, he probably did. This is, I mean, honestly, if I'm in his situation, hell, if I'm in Triple H, Stephanie, I don't know who, if I'm in that situation, I don't even know what to think of Roman Reigns anymore.
I know.
You know? It's like he's shown flashes of like of being a potential top guy, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, look, dude, he's not going to be another Cena.
No.
He's never going to be another John Cena.
No.
But John Cena is a singular entity.
Yeah, he's like a generational talent.
He really is. I mean, I think there are people with sort of the potential to be Cena-esque, maybe, but I don't think it's ever going to be Roman Reigns.
No,
but
Roman doesn't have the mic skills or...
He doesn't have that natural thing.
No.
But people rarely do.
Yes. As we say, generational talent.
So I don't know. I mean...
For every time they book Roman correctly, for example, when he won the belt on Raw in Philadelphia,
yeah,
and the crowd
ago,
popped
yeah.
huge for him.
Yeah.
They go weeks and weeks and weeks booking him incorrectly. And,
yeah.
And now he's getting this kind of weird reception where, I mean, it's always been split between heavy boos and some cheers, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hesitate to say that we've heard more cheers on Raw, but it kind of feels that way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think this.
But he's still getting a lot of boos.
I think this Braun thing has done a lot for. I mean, the fact that he like tried to murder Braun, I honestly think has brought a lot of people around,
mm-hmm.
at least to the storyline, to mm-hmm. see what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know, but like if we're talking about number one, I mean, citing merch sale, increased boos, and fans canceling. I mean, is there so maybe I don't know, man. I don't know. Like Roman Reigns is a giant conundrum for me, man.
Yes.
I have no idea.
He really
I don't even
is.
Know what I think about him, to be honest with you. Like I kind of don't want to see him on my screen, but then when they do stuff with him, it's kind of, sometimes it's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool, especially this whole Braun feud has been really good.
Yeah.
And it'd be like if he wasn't a good worker,
mm-hmm.
it would be simple.
Yeah.
Don't want to see him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he can put on good matches.
No, he can. I know.
He can be a really good worker.
Yeah.
He does interesting stuff, even in terms of his character work from time to time.
Here's like
put that beef away was brilliant.
Yeah, that was great.
Hold on, let me finish my
thought. Yeah, go ahead.
But there's a conflict, I think, within both of us because we realize there's potential there in Roman, but creative is bungling his booking so constantly
yeah.
that it's hard to really make a true determination one way or the other. Conclusively about whether, okay, we want to, this is a wrestler we want to support or not.
I think one turning point for a lot of us will be who's going to take that damn belt off of Braun Strowman. I'm sorry, off of
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Who's going to take that title off him? When are they finally going to, I think my thing is this, they want to push Roman to be the next John Cena, the next top face. When are they going to be satisfied with whatever answer they're getting? You know what I mean? Like, what's their end game, and what can I look forward to after that?
Yeah.
Because if Roman is simply, if we didn't get all these reports about them wanting him to win the Universal title off of Lesnar.
At WrestleMania,
which is still a ways off. And in the meantime, Lesnar's going to demolish all these other guys. We saw him take down Samoa Joe with one F5
yeah.
at Great Balls of Fire after a terrific match. Like, let's just fast forward to him getting the Universal title. figure out whatever you need to figure out, and then let's move on.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I would probably be able to digest Roman Reigns a lot better if things just weren't so predictable.
Yeah.
But so far, plan number one or step number one to their Mania match is done, and that's Samoa Joe being beat by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but it seems the plan may have changed because it was going to be Brock Braun at SummerSlam, we kept hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But now it seems like there is a chance that it could either be Brock Reigns or a four-way match.
Well, it makes you think, I wonder if this, you know, the officials, you know, the top guys, Vince, Triple H, Stephanie, whoever, being split over this, maybe that's why they're going to do, if they're going to do, maybe that's why they're going to do Roman Brock at SummerSlam, put the title on Roman, and then see where it goes. Like, instead of waiting all that time, let's fast track this, because why not do it at SummerSlam instead of Mania? He's already main evented, like he said, three WrestleManias.
I know. I mean, they'll find a way for him to main event fourth.
No, I know. Absolutely.
But to try to do another coronation moment with Reigns when the other ones haven't worked at all.
Right.
I don't know why they would think it would work this time around. Just because they want it to more?
Well, I mean, you know, I think they just want to maybe move on with, is this going to work or isn't it going to work?
No, I know. I know. But I'm saying, you know, if the original plans are still true.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's take some questions.
We got a couple other. What do they do? Like, he fights Brock at SummerSlam and Mania for the Universal title.
I'm telling you, man, have Braun win the title off Brock at SummerSlam. Braun Reigns for the Universal title at WrestleMania. It's a much better story. Much better story.
People would go ape, man. They'd go ape for
that'd be fantastic. Champion Braun.
Champion Braun.
Let's take some questions. We got some super chats from Eddie Vox.
I'm not done with
it. He says, hope you like the GIFs. They will never stop. I don't know what that means. Has he been sending us GIFs? Yes, he has. Sorry. Now I know what it means. Sorry.
What GIFs did he send us?
I think he sent us some on Twitter.
Oh, okay, cool.
I believe that's what it was.
You can send us GIFs on Twitter, at Real Going In Raw.
We had another super chat. I thought it's not popping up in my thing, though.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. From Flame Inc. Live says, should WWE release Vince if he keeps stopping shows? If he keeps stopping shows.
I don't think it's that simple.
If he keeps canceling shows. I don't think it's that simple.
He still is the chairman of the board, so I don't think they can do that. I mean, I guess the board can vote him off of the board.
I think they can probably do that.
Yeah, but he would still, if he still owns the most number of shares, he would still own the most.
Here's what
shares.
Would have to happen. USA would have to cancel Raw. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know.
Or they would have to take like a massive pay cut in their TV deal. Like something financially like catastrophic would basically have to happen. And even then, I'm not sure if the McMahons have, you know, the stroke to keep him in. I honestly don't know the power structure there.
Yeah. Maddie freaking Ice. Sasha says people hate Roman because they are jealous. He says, LMAO, really?
You jealous of Roman Reigns, dude? I don't really hate Roman, though.
No.
I'm sure there's some haters. I'm joking. I think it's because people know when people know the WWE. It's funny. I don't know. I mean, when Stone Cold was hot, here's the thing about Stone Cold. He had that belt from when he won it at Mania 14. He had that belt for what, like 3 months?
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
I think it was like 3 months, and then they put it on Kane. Whoa! And then he didn't get it back for like a little, or no, he got it right back.
Yeah, and then there was the double
him
pin.
Him and Kane, there was the double pin.
The SummerSlam
title was vacated. They kept that moving around so much that like nobody really knew. Like it was so unpredictable. I mean, you know, that's
all the title changes were motivated by story.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's all we really want.
Yeah.
We just wanted to be everything be motivated by story. In the Discord chat, X-Ray guy says, Roman's a good worker, but it's too much shoving him down our throats all the time. I don't want to see him main eventing Mania again next year. I honestly don't care. I mean, I don't know. Like we have the world title, like we have that on SmackDown. I mean, it's, you know, if I don't like something, I kind of just don't pay attention to it. But Roman keeps me intrigued enough.
Yeah, if nothing else, just to see what kind of response he'll get from the crowd.
Yeah. Here's a good. Jack Dolan says, "How many multi-man matches will there be at SummerSlam? Will it be Mania 2000 all over?"
Oh, it seems like it's going to.
It looks like we're getting that for the Raw title. I think Dave Meltzer sort of indicated that he felt that's the direction that was going, and it kind of makes sense. Like although did you see that Corey Graves tweet at Bayley? You think he's just trolling? I think he's probably just trolling. I don't think they're going to go that route. There's nothing to indicate they're going down that route yet.
Yeah, I know.
Although, watch tonight on Raw. So you think there might be a fatal four-way for the Universal title at SummerSlam?
Yeah, and then a multi-woman match for the Raw women's title.
Yeah.
That seems probable. I mean, the possibility always exists they'll do a triple threat match for the Intercontinental title with Ambrose, Seth, and Miz.
Yeah,
because they're all opening the show this week.
Yeah, that's
Raw.
Right. That's right.
So I get the feeling there's going to be a lot of multi-person matches going on mm-hmm. at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Alex C has a good question. Do you think a Cena-like face is even possible anymore? People are more naturally attracted to assholes these days. Just look at the UFC, people like Conor McGregor.
I think what part of the thing they did wrong with Roman that maybe hurt him the most was that they didn't have him be a heel first, get popular as a heel, turn him face.
Yeah,
I know it's formula, but it's a tried and true formula
mm-hmm.
that if someone does really good face work, they get over.
Yeah.
People start to love them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's how you do it. Yeah. If you want to create a massive face, that is how you do it.
Yeah,
stuff and things ism. What do you think would be the best blow-off match for Roman and Braun, last man standing match? Main event, WrestleMania 34. Universal title. Make Braun the one person Reigns just can't beat, even though mm-hmm. I know he beat him once before.
Mm-hmm.
Can't beat him. Like, have Braun win the title. I've said this before at SummerSlam. Next pay-per-view, Reigns, Strowman. Strowman beats him again.
Yeah.
Then have Reigns do something else. Have Strowman do something else. Reigns either wins the Rumble or gets into another program with Strowman. Finally beats him WrestleMania 34.
It's good.
It's a better story than Reigns Lesnar.
I like it.
At least I think it is.
Keep on thinking about that second rope pile driver that Ibushi gave Naito.
Yeah, I didn't see that until I was looking through my Twitter before we started. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Let's see here. Legit underboss Jimmy Thomas in the Discord says, who's your pick for the WCPW World Cup? And will he do a review for it? My pick is Will Ospreay. I think he's going to be taking on Rey Mysterio.
Oh.
Speaking of Rey Mysterio, Larson.
Oh, great segue.
Let's get into our third story. Rey Mysterio is currently deciding where he's going to go. And apparently,
he's a free agent.
There's interest from the WWE and GFW, who apparently are looking to distance themselves from a certain Alberto El Patron.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated again had a story saying that Rey Mysterio is now a free agent. His Lucha Underground contract, I guess, has expired.
Mm.
And that both, quote, WWE and GFW/Impact are negotiating with Rey Mysterio. He is signed through the end of the third season of Lucha Underground, which mm-hmm. is set to air, I think, start in September, but he yeah. can't show up on American television until that season concludes.
Plus 90 days.
Plus 90 days.
Yeah.
And then he'd be free to work with any company after his 90-day non-compete clause expires.
Like, we're looking at the beginning of 2018.
Oh, at least.
Could be at the Royal Rumble. You think they're going to make that mistake again? Bring Rey Mysterio out at the, like, the number three? Like, you think it's going to be like Kenny Omega?
No. So,
and it ends up being Rey Mysterio?
I don't know if Lucha Underground's third season is going to run as long as the first two seasons.
Yeah.
But they're pretty long. So we could be talking middle of 2018 before this happens.
Oh, it's starting in September. How many?
That's how I read this, yeah.
How many episodes are there in a season for Lucha Underground?
Season 2 had over 30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did they split it up over, like, two sections?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh, wow.
I think this is that part 2 of season 3 is starting in September. I think that might
how
be what
it is. How old will Rey Mysterio be after
42 right now.
After 90 days plus, like, 30 episodes.
He's 42 right now. So I think it's actually part 2 of season 3 starts in September. Although I feel like that just started. I feel like that started already. Maybe they mean it ends in September. I don't know.
Oh, man.
So I think, I'm pretty sure it's the second part of whatever season they're on, which I believe is season 3, has started already.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sports Illustrated continues, quote, GFW Impact is very motivated to move away from Alberto El Patron and generate some positive headlines by inking the legendary Mysterio. They continue, quote, WWE also holds an edge with a state-of-the-art performance center in Orlando, Florida. Mysterio's son, Dominic, is pursuing a career in pro wrestling and could benefit from the opportunity to train at WWE's performance center.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be cool.
Having Rey Mysterio back, really? Is that cool?
I mean, he's still a quality performer.
No, I know.
He's still a decent draw.
He's so...
doing good work on Lucha Underground, the bit I saw that I have backed up in my DVR.
I'd rather see him on GFW because, I don't know. No, I wouldn't. I don't know. Look, Rey Mysterio is great. I know there's a lot of Rey Mysterio fans out there. He's not a guy who, for me, really moves the needle, though. Like, I don't know. I just don't really... But, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
that. I wonder what kind of Brinks truck GFW is going to roll out for.
Do you wonder if WWE would sign him with the intent on putting him on 205 Live to try to pop ratings on that show?
No.
You don't think so?
No. He is way too big for that.
I understand he is, but maybe they think a star of his magnitude could pop ratings. Maybe the schedule would be a little bit lighter.
Here's the thing. I don't think they give a shit about popping ratings on 205 Live past doing some very minor things like bringing Titus O'Neil over or Sasha Banks over for like a little bit of a guest stint. I think 205 Live, I honestly don't think they care that much. Like, what does it really help getting the network numbers up on 205 Live? You know, I don't know if it really helps that much. Rey Mysterio is like a big star. They can like market to their Latino audience or Hispanic audience. And I don't really think that, I don't think they care about 205 Live.
I don't know. Just the thought occurred to me.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think he's under 205 pounds, but I just don't think they care. Maybe for like some guest spots, maybe he could be a guy who could maybe bridge Raw on 205 Live. That's possible, I guess. Yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing they would sign him just to put him exclusively on 205 Live.
Yeah, right.
But I wouldn't be surprised, as you said, there is some crossover.
Yeah. So a couple people in chat have mentioned this about the CM Punk rumors.
Oh, just Kurt Angle said he should come back to WWE and stop. He should come back to what he does best, I think is what he said.
I'm going to call an audible. Fourth story, Larson. CM Punk fifth. Confirmed.
This is fifth, then.
Confirmed. Confirmed. Go. Wait, what's fifth?
We still have to talk G1.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But that'll be quick.
All right. CM Punk. Confirmed coming back to WWE by
not
Kurt
confirmed.
Angle. No, actually, so I guess so I'm getting this from WrestleZone. You can check it out there. During a Facebook Q&A session, Kurt Angle says, quote, or he said did it this weekend. He says, quote, I hope he comes back. I think his MMA career is over. He needs to go back to what he does. He needs to go back to what he does best. So, Larson, what are the odds that they're going to bring... hold on a second. Let me finish. What are the odds they're going to bring CM Punk back to pop the ratings on 205 Live?
Less than zero.
He's like way under 205 pounds, though, isn't he? What did he fight at in UFC? Like 175 or 185, something like that.
Yeah. Middleweight, right?
Yeah. I think it's too soon. But then I guess it wouldn't surprise me at this point if I saw something that said CM Punk is in negotiations or something like that.
It's more likely to be a place like New Japan or Ring of Honor that he would have a match here or there.
You're probably right. Here's my thing, is if New Japan wasn't killing it like they are right now, I think that'd be less likely. But New Japan is doing such good work right now, that wouldn't surprise me.
Bullet Club invited CM Punk to join their ranks.
Whoa, confirmed he's joining Bullet Club?
This was a while ago. This was before the G1 shows in
Long
Beach.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
So he has maybe an open invite to join Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
So... who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
We have one super chat question from Maddie Freaking Ice. Who is in the WWE title match at SummerSlam? Hasn't been confirmed yet. We still have to get to Battleground.
Take a guess. Predict it. What's going to happen? I still think it's going to be Jinder Cena. I think the Cena-AJ thing, I think that's throwing us a swerve. I don't think that's going to be the case.
That could be the case. Your situation could be the case. I don't know.
I think we're going to get Jinder Cena. What's your early gut telling you?
I feel like they...
You know, I had like three eggs, a piece of toast, and a banana this morning.
Stomach's grumbling.
What the heck is going on?
They pulled the U.S. title off Kevin Owens, I would hope, because they have a larger purpose in mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know who his opponent might be, but I would not be surprised if he were put into the WWE title picture after Battleground.
No.
I mean, but if that's the case, you would think Randy would be his opponent.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know.
Got some questions here in the Discord. Outlaw C says, how would you book a CM Punk return? We booked this a while ago. We said something along the lines of he'd come back and kind of advocate for... one of the problems with CM Punk coming back is that he would be doing... I know, it's crazy. He would be doing exactly what he was kind of like not into before, which was like... You know, like a guy who comes back and it gets like special treatment.
Part-timers,
yeah. And I don't ever see him coming back on a full... Oh, maybe he would for the right money. But I doubt it.
Maybe he just comes back and just revels in being a part-timer. Full heel.
Oh, that'd be great.
Angel Master 765, if Punk goes to New Japan, who would you book him with? I guess opponent-wise. I mean, there's that's a count out right there. Dream matches. CM Punk in New Japan. What would be tops?
I would do this. I would have him instead of joining Bullet Club.
No, he has to join Bullet Club.
Oh, he has to join Bullet Club. Okay. No, Suzuki. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
who wouldn't want to see CM Punk versus Suzuki? That'd be great.
Naito.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, too.
There's so many good matches.
I'd like to see him join Bullet Club only to tear him apart from the inside out and join L.I.J. or Suzuki-Gun.
Suzuki-Gun.
And then he takes over Suzuki-Gun.
Yeah, that's good. CM Punk-Gun.
Yeah, Punk-Gun. Alex C. says, is Ray joining LAX? Confirmed here exclusive? Yes. Sounds like it. Alberto El Patron brought up Rey Mysterio on this last week's episode of, what's that show called? Impact.
The one you review on your channel?
The one, hey, go check out youtube.com/MFSteve here. I review Global Force Wrestling over there. I'm about to drop my Slammiversary review 2 weeks after it went live, and since there's been two episodes of GFW.
Interesting.
That's a mouthful, GFW.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like it.
Javier Barraza, $5 super chat. What do you guys think about adding a new title on the SmackDown like a TV championship? This will give guys like Dillinger and Sami Zayn something to do. Sure, yes.
Wait, what?
TV title on SmackDown.
Yes. Bring it back. Confirmed here exclusive on Going In Raw.
Probably the best match at Clash Champions 24 for the TV title.
Here's the thing, man. There's too many people. There's too many people. There's not enough time. Introduce a new belt, and you're good to go. CM Punk will come in and defend the TV title.
Agreed.
Every TV taping.
Yes, he has to be on every TV taping.
I like this. X-Ray guy says, Mahal versus Cena at SummerSlam. Cena wins, loses, and he cashes in to be.
Yeah, Corbin cashes in.
That makes sense to me.
And then Corbin and Nakamura can get into a title feud.
I like that. Why not? Why not do that? That's good.
Or actually, they can even have Corbin cash in before Cena gets the pin so he doesn't break Ric Flair's record and hold the title for like 20 seconds.
Dead Right makes a good point here. Watch me try to be PC about mini wrestlers on Impact because they brought in some Mexican minis. And it's good. It's not as fast as I thought it would be, but like, what? They're like little people, not like Peter Dinklage, who has like a small body and like a regular size head. They're like just like guys with like small bodies, smaller bodies, not like abnormally small bodies, just small bodies. Like a dude who's like comes up to here on you.
All right.
That confuses me. And I'm trying to wrap my head around it while not being an asshole. Watch me do that at MF Steve here. All the stuff that I know will make you cringe. That's what I do on my channel, Larson. I try not to get myself in trouble on my channel.
Chris Valitez. Glad you guys spelled your Patreon correctly today. The misspelling and edit fail cracked me up yesterday from the Going In Raw View episodes. You put three E's
so,
and Steve.
Dude, that episode was a mess. It was a mess because remember when Gypsy wanted to leave?
Yeah.
I'm going to edit
it out.
I
saw the comments about the...
Yeah, and
the,
I was like, what did I not... Because immediately I'm thinking, oh, crap. Was it something that we said that was... But we don't really say off-putting stuff.
No.
Like, we're really careful about that. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, this kind of is funny. But here's the thing. I had minor surgery on Friday, and that's when I edit. So, like, that's my excuse. It's really no excuse, but, you know, that's what it was. So, anyways. Yeah, I know. It's Steve. Go to Patreon. Boy, millions of people are on the page. We're missing out on so much money because people are on patreon.com/Steve and Larson. Yeah.
I know. Sad. We could have got the $200,000.
We could have. You never know. That could have been a thing.
We really could have.
All right, so let's talk about
the G1.
The
J1 Block A shows happened, well, for us, early this morning.
So here's the thing. We've got how many people watching us right now? Like 1,700?
Almost 1,700,
like
yes.
All right. If you are not checking out New Japan, I believe at New Japan World, which is njpwworld.com, you can go check out for free. I believe they have night one. They have a monthly streaming service, $9.99 a month.
Worth the money too.
It is if you're a fan of WWE and you want.
Hold on, Jason Spann says Steve got a lobotomy. I don't think a lobotomy is minor surgery.
Lobotomy is definitely not minor surgery. But that totally coincides. It would actually make sense.
Yeah, it would.
Steve. Amlert. Oh, programming note. We're doing, what's my show called? WGPW.
Yeah.
We're doing that live today also.
And then tomorrow, Fun Wrestling will be live too.
Woo! We're going all in on live, baby. We highly recommend it. Highly recommend New Japan. Just check it out. Watch the show. And I guarantee you, you'll want to plunk down $9.99 a month. It's like 9.99 yen too, which usually equals like $8.91. It varies from like month to month, I think. Anyways. So the G1 tournament, which I have learned from paying attention, that the G1 is kind of the place where they go balls out on their actual wrestling matches. That's where they try to have their best matches of the year. And last night we got, in the main event, Naito versus Kota Ibushi, as part of the A block. And a lot of you people probably like, what the hell are you talking about? I guarantee you. Just skip forward to that match alone.
Yeah.
And you will be you'll be blown away. You'll be mesmerized.
Yeah, I got to watch the Zack Sabre Jr. Tanahashi match. That's all I got to watch this morning. And that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And right as I was about to start watching Naito Ibushi, I had to get ready to come over here. So I didn't get to finish it.
Man, Naito Ibushi is amazing. Zack Sabre Jr. is one of the best technical wrestlers on the planet right now.
He is so entertaining.
He is so amazing. You hear what he said at the press conference? He said, I hope that I get to fight my boss in the finals. How great is that?
That's awesome.
If you guys don't want spoilers, we're gonna spoil this stuff right now? Got results?
That's up to you, because you actually watched all these matches, right?
Yeah, I did.
So it's up to you whether you just want to talk about the quality of the matches or...
Do you have something where we can do predictions for the rest of them?
We just do predictions based on who we think would be the top two people in each block and what the finals are going to be.
We'll do. I think. What do you think the finals is going to be?
I think it's going to be Naito Omega.
I think it's going to be Ibushi Omega. I really do. And Kenny has been making such a story out of that, and there hasn't really been another story that they're circling that I've noticed, anyways. And so I'm kind of thinking that it's going to be. I think Ibushi. Spoiler alert: losing to Naito night one in a spectacular match. I think he's going to rebound from that, and I think he's going to fight Omega, and I think Omega's probably going to go over.
You think so?
Yeah, I kind of think that. I could be completely wrong. We're still so new to, like, New Japan.
Oh, see, here's the last two, the Block A final. You got Tanahashi versus Naito.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to determine who moves on to the final. And then you have Okada Omega for the B block final show. And these are everything's scheduled out. You can look it up and find the schedule for all the shows. And it's a round robin tournament. So whoever has the most points at the end of August 11th and 12th will advance to the final.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised if, because Tanahashi and Naito, they have a story brewing this year with the Intercontinental title. If Naito beats Tanahashi, advances to the final. Yeah. Or that seals the deal for him advancing to the final. Same with Okada Omega. Omega finally beats Okada to advance to the finals, only to fall short to Naito, who he beat last year in his block final.
Then we get Naito Omega or Naito Okada at Wrestle Kingdom.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe you're right about that. We got a super chat here. We got two super chats here. We got one from Quilvio Lopez. Do you think Dean Ambrose should have stayed on SmackDown? I feel like they have nothing for him on Raw other than him rejoining with the Shield. Here's the thing.
Well, first of all, he didn't have any say where he was going.
He is, I don't think they think that. Dean Ambrose is in such a holding pattern right now.
He needs to turn heel.
He needs to turn heel.
Turn heel, Dean.
I want to see him versus Seth going into SummerSlam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll happen. Emilio Hernandez, late to the stream, been having bad anxiety lately, but the podcast is always a safe place.
All right.
Happy we can help.
Thank good. I'm glad we can help. Oh, man. Anyways, so you think it's going to be Naito Omega?
In the finals with Naito winning.
Yeesh. My neck's going to freaking hurt by the end of all this. My neck hurts just watching that.
That pile driver off the second rope was enough to make my neck hurt.
Dude, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there was a couple. There was this move. I don't know if Ibushi does this, like, usually. But he's, like, on the inside, right? And, like, the rope's right here. So he's – and Naito's on the outside. And Ibushi is, his feet are on the second rope, okay?
Oh, it is like a German suplex?
Yeah.
He did that during the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, my God. But, like, those are tiny Cruiserweights. Naito's not, I mean, I know Naito's not like a beast or anything.
Yeah.
But to see him do, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the torque he puts on those is crazy. Alex Ramirez, Super Chat, Ibushi versus Omega. Ibushi wins, goes to 205 Live.
yeah.
You see Omega giving Ibushi shit for that? He says, you left here to fulfill your dream of being a participant in the CWC. Not winning the CWC.
That's funny.
Being a participant in the CWC. That was pretty funny.
Well, I think we will get Omega Ibushi, but I don't think it's going to be in the G1 finals.
You think it's going to be at Wrestle Kingdom?
Or it could be at, what's their fall pay-per-view or major event? I think it's called King of Pro Wrestling or something like that.
I have no idea.
Could happen there, or it could be at Wrestle Kingdom.
I think it's going to be fantastic when it does happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ibushi's if you've great. Seen anything from their DDT Pro match in 2012.
Look up any GIF with Kota Ibushi in it. And you'll see why this is amazing is going to happen.
Well, especially find the one where he shoots fireworks off his chest.
Yeah, that's fantastic, too.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
All right, anyways, my stomach is growling, so we're going to leave right now.
Wow, we're going to leave because you're hungry. That's something different.
I know, right? Usually you're the one who comes over and is like, oh, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too, but I'm just keeping it under wraps.
I have to figure out a way. I think I know how to... Oh, yeah, can I just stop the stream from here? Can I actually do that?
I don't know
either.